You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, Raider Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Follow us on Instagram at LockedOnBulls and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We'd love to hear from you. We're finally to the first week of the regular season. We'd love to hear what your reaction, your thoughts, your comments on everything going on with the Bulls. 331-979-1369. Well, back from the weekends, hopefully you had a wonderful weekend this weekend. I know it got a little bit tainted for you and I, Matt, as far as having to watch that Bears game yesterday in the defeat down in Miami, but hoping the Bulls can turn my week around a little bit, because that was not a, I guess if you consider it the start to your week, that's not a great start to my week, and if you consider it the end of your week, not really a really great way to end your week either. But what's going on, Matt?
Yeah, what's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Trying to put myself on a positive foot forward on a Monday here. I've just been in such a rotten mood since about 3 o'clock yesterday. That Bears game just pissed me off so much. I can't believe they choked that win away. And now you got the Pats coming to town, and they looked pretty unstoppable against the Chiefs, handing them their first loss on a really entertaining Sunday Night Football matchup last night. When the Bears are actually a team worth watching, and when they lose winnable games in this, you know, stretch of football season, Mondays just suck so much, man. It's part of the great thing about being a sports fan. It's good and it's bad. It has such crippling control over your emotions. And when it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's just friggin' awful. And today I feel friggin' awful about that stupid friggin' game. But hey, bright side, we have real Bulls basketball, real NBA Bulls games that matter, just a few days away. So, silver lining.
Opening week on national TV, kind of nice. Going up against the 76ers, I think that's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call for the Bulls, and people get to see what the Bulls look like, at least early on. Disappointing that we don't get to see Markkanen start off, but he'll be back about 2 months from now. 22 games, hopefully a little bit sooner than that, but we'll find out. With the team that we've got going forward, though, let's talk about that Nuggets game on Friday night to wrap up the preseason. So the Bulls come out. I thought they played a pretty decent game. It seemed like Fred Hoiberg was allowing for some of the bench players to get a little bit more run than normal. You see Cameron Payne playing 26 minutes. You see Antonio Blakeney playing 22. Jabari Parker played 32 minutes on Friday night. Chandler Hutchison got a little bit more of a run at with 20 minutes. Seems like he was trying to preserve his starters as much as possible. Like, Bobby only played 19 minutes. Wendell Carter Jr., 22. Same thing with Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine only played 18 minutes in this one. So it seems like Fred Hoiberg was just trying to kind of relax the guys that he's going to have to press on for the first couple of for the first few weeks, at least throughout the season, want to keep those guys fresh. But any takeaways, obviously, besides Jabari Parker going 7 for 11 from the field with 19 points, I thought he was by far the best one on the Bulls and turned it around from what we were talking about earlier in the week.
Yeah, he had his best game of the preseason, no doubt, to wrap things up in this game against the Nuggets. Parker did 7 of 11, including 3 of 6 from downtown for a game-high 19 points. You know, I think it was fine of Fred to basically sit all the important guys in the second half of that game. LaVine sat the entire second half, and Fred said that that was part of his plan, especially you saw Archie Diakono got an extended run there in the third quarter. I think he played, you know, almost the entire third quarter or close to it, because as we saw, Archie is the guy that looks like he's going to be 15th man on that roster. They did pick up Ulis, and we'll get to that in our next segment. You might be looking at some Windy City games for him. But biggest takeaway is that probably if Hoiberg wants to stick to his guns and do so intelligently, I wouldn't overreact to Parker having his best game of the preseason and had his best shooting night. He was active on the boards again. He looked good. He looked okay. He looked pretty good. But don't take that and turn it into, oh, well, so he should go back into the starting lineup, right? Because I think you would agree with me, Jordan, and tell me if you don't. But to me, Hoiberg seems to like the idea of having Parker kind of run that second unit offensively as a point forward. And he likes the speed of that first unit with Portis and Wendell in there as opposed to Jabari and Lopez slowing things down.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think for Parker's sake, too, and we talked about this earlier last week, for his sake, Bobby Portis had talked about what had given him success coming off the bench and running with that second unit. It's exactly the same mentality that I think Jabari Parker should play with, especially early on if he wants to try to earn back his starting role. Let the offense run through you, man. Like, you're here to score. And I get that it's kind of a demotion for you at this point that you've only come off the bench in probably like less than 20 games and throughout his entire career, including with the Bucks. I get it. It's a demotion for Jabari Parker. But at the same time, he should be looking at it the same way Bobby Portis was looking at it last year, is, hey, the offense is going to run through me. I should be okay with this because the other guys that you're looking at that bench unit, until Denzel Valentine comes back, you don't really have any shooters coming off that bench. So for Jabari, if he wants to get back, get his confidence back, get his shooting rhythm back, and ultimately earn that starting role again, let embrace the role off the bench as the sixth man and embrace being the number one option in the second unit. I think if he does that, the Bulls are going to have a lot of success with him there. If he doesn't and continues to be kind of salty about not starting, not getting those opportunities at the four where he thinks he deserves to be, I think we're going to see some type of turmoil. So I'm hoping Jabari can just, at least for right now, latch onto the idea of coming off the bench, being that versatile scorer with that second unit and helping guys out there, because it worked out for Bobby Portis. Why can't it work out for Jabari Parker?
Yeah. You mentioned that it is, I guess, an adjustment. That's what Parker said, because through his first three seasons, he only didn't start in five games collectively. And then last season, coming off the ACL tear the second time, he played in 31 and only started three. So clearly it's an adjustment, but Parker at this point is coming into a season where he was expecting to start, but hey, guess what? If he's asked to come off the bench, he has experience coming off the bench just last season, and he should be okay with it. And you and I talked a little bit on Friday about whether or not his ego is a concern right now or his attitude towards coming off the bench is a concern. And again, after that final preseason game, he declined to talk to the media. So there is a little bit of concern there as far as whether or not he has fully embraced this idea of coming off the bench. But from, you know, trying to put this through the lens of Fred Hoiberg giving this team the best chance to win on a nightly basis, certainly and especially until Markkanen gets back, you take that sample size of those five preseason games and what you saw with Jabari in the starting unit and what you saw with Jabari coming off the bench, and to me it's a no-brainer decision. And you know, we'll see. Maybe Jabari at some point gets to a level of play that is so much better than what we saw in the preseason that Fred has to rethink that and maybe actually does look to playing Jabari in a starting role at the three, which, again, that was the plan from day one, as at least according to the front office when they signed him. Maybe we see that at some point between now and when Markkanen comes back. And maybe you see him getting a starting opportunity either at the three or at the four, and then either only Bobby or Wendell remains a starter, assuming that Fred still wants Justin Holiday in that lineup. Either way, I think we're looking at a situation where it's a matter of they probably overpaid this guy, and right now he looks better served in a reserve role than a starting role, and Fred's going to do that regardless of what he was brought here to be and regardless of whether or not Jabari feels okay about it.
Another thing, too, that I was grabbing from this, and I'm curious to see what Fred Hoiberg runs with, but to me, do you think Antonio Blakeney has proved at least enough to get some run early on here? Like, I know that second unit, once Denzel comes back, it's probably going to be Cameron Payne, Denzel Valentine. Well, now even Jabari Parker, but now that Markkanen's kind of out and you maybe want to readjust a little bit with Denzel Valentine coming back, you might see Antonio Blakeney get probably 15 to 20 minutes a night. Like, I don't know how you can deny him with the scoring that he's given you, at least in preseason. And I know people get kind of crazy with him because he comes down and a lot of times there's a shot that he'll take a shot at any time, anywhere. Anytime he seems to get the ball, he likes to shoot. But to me, I can't deny the fact that he's at least putting the ball in the bucket at a pretty high clip, almost a high clip that you can't ignore. So to me, I think at least early on, the Bulls should be looking at Antonio Blakeney as a piece to give at least a little bit of run to if Denzel Valentine isn't fully healthy to go against the 76ers or in the first handful of games. The other silver lining that I had from this, Matt, is, you know, talking about the preseason games, looking at what the Bulls did against a handful of these other teams before they're getting ready to start, I did notice, and a shout out to Mark Strotman from NBC Sports Chicago. He had posted this on Twitter right before the game against the Nuggets. He said, things change year over year, but it's probably worth mentioning when considering the Bulls' defense this preseason. They faced last year's number 6, number 9, number 10, number 11, and number 12 offenses. So I thought that's kind of a good gauge. Like, considering the way that the Bulls playing all five preseason games against teams that were in the top 15 in offense last year, and a lot of those rosters pretty much having the same turnover, I thought it was pretty good. Like, the Bulls to pull out, they came out at 2-3 from the preseason, thought played pretty well in all of the games except against Milwaukee. So that's a little silver lining for Bulls fans out there. Like, look, the Bulls aren't going to be playing teams that are in the top 15 of offense all season long. So I thought that was another thing that was key for me to at least put preseason in perspective.
Yeah, and again, it's preseason, so you take those numbers across the board for what they are and not a whole lot more than that. Just to go back real quickly to what you were talking about with Blakeney and who exactly is going to be getting these runs of minutes coming off the bench in the backcourt. I mean, we've tried to be patient and optimistic with Campaign this offseason, saying at least like he didn't look terrible once he got some real minutes last season, but he did not look good in those preseason games. I'm concerned about Campaign actually being this team's primary backup point guard. You mentioned Denzel. We'll see when he comes back. I would be surprised if he's available for their opener on Thursday against the Sixers. Got to imagine they're going to be cautious there. This is a re-injured ankle, an ankle that he's had surgery on multiple times. So I would expect caution there. Also, I don't want to go back to this idea of Denzel playing point guard. I just don't think he has what it takes. We also saw that he could be a very effective off guard or wing player who was pretty effective shooting threes last season. Best Bulls 3-point shooting percentage across the roster last season. To me, that should be his role. He should not be a backup point guard. So when it comes to Fred and whether or not he actually has faith in Campaign being the primary guy to back up Dunn and the other options he has available, we saw our most extensive look at Archie Diakono in that final preseason game, and it looks like he's sticking around. He is competent. he is okay across the board. He's not great at anything. But if anything, I would say he is a smart basketball player who can at least find open looks for guys and not take care or, and not worry about turning the ball over. He's a smart player. Blakeney is the scorer. So it depends on what Fred wants. Does Fred want a cookie cutter blah backup guard like Archie Diacono to come in there and just pass the ball to other guys and not do anything stupid? Because Archie Diacono looked most of the preseason like a guy afraid to shoot the ball, which, you know, is fine if Fred just wants him in there to pass it to the people who aren't afraid to shoot the ball. It depends on the scenario on a nightly basis. If the Bulls are trying to come from behind, you got to imagine that Fred runs Blakeney in there because the guy can just light up baskets in a hurry. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed grab bag. I don't feel great about any of them, though, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you brought up the whole Denzel Valentine thing. Like, look at that. That ship has passed. Like, that is far and beyond sailed. I think the first year that Denzel Valentine was with the Bulls, we had mentioned that in his rookie year, like, why haven't the Bulls at least tried him at point guard? Like, at this point, what he showed us last year and not having to run the point and still being very effective on the offensive end, like, I don't want him doing that again. Like, look, I know that the backup point guard situation is up for grabs with Payne, with Ulis now in the mix, with Archie Diacono. That's not a great group of backup point guards to have behind Chris Dunn. I understand that, but at the same time, let's not move Denzel Valentine out of position in order to try and fill that gap. If it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out, and the Bulls have to either make a deal or they're just going to run with what they have this season. Like, that's bottom line, plain and simple. But I don't think you mess with what Denzel Valentine was able to do last year and the positions that he was put in just to kind of move him to point guard and see if he can facilitate. And that's another thing. Like, just because Denzel Valentine's not playing the point guard position doesn't mean he can't facilitate. Same thing with Antonio Blakeney. Antonio Blakeney in his last preseason game had 8 rebounds and 5 assists to go along with his 9 points. Sure, he went 3-for-12, but just looking at the rebounds and the assist numbers, like, he can kind of fill that void. And I'd be interested to see if Campaign continues to struggle, if Fred decides to maybe in some sets, once Valentine comes back healthy, if it is Blakeney, if it is Valentine, if it's Parker coming off the bench and running that second unit together, as opposed to letting Cameron Payne go out there. But I think if I had to put money on it, I think at least for the first half of the season that Cameron Payne's probably going to get extended run, and they're going to push it to the point where it's a point of no return.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. And then one more note on preseason, especially what we're talking about with these guys playing reserve roles this season. Worth noting that in a game where Fred gave some of the back end of the rotation guys extra run, especially in that second half, we still only saw 6 minutes for Cristiano Felicio. Felicio's minutes in the preseason are as follows: 12 minutes against the Pelicans, 8 against the Bucks, 7 against the Hornets, 6 against the Pacers, 6 against the Nuggets. His minutes got smaller and smaller as the preseason went on, and he did get credited with, I believe, 3 blocks in that game against Denver. But I mean, it's pretty clear that this guy's not getting any playing time unless, you know, catastrophe strikes and all of a sudden the Bulls heavily overloaded front court becomes a depleted front court. Felicio's sitting on the end of that bench all season long.
Last thing I got to note too, at the end of this game in preseason on Friday night, shout out to our friend of the show, Darnell Mayberry. He had asked if Campaign had ruined anybody's betting ticket. I don't know who's betting on preseason basketball, and it's pretty funny if you are, but I was curious.
People with a gambling problem.
I was curious
problem.
What the line was before the game had started, and the Bulls were given 5 points. It was a +5 for the Bulls. The line had opened up at -4 for the Nuggets. So if you're betting for the Bulls, Cameron Payne made a foul with 2 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and the Nuggets went down and ended up hitting both of those free throws to push the lead to 5, and that's ultimately what it was. So if you're betting on the Bulls, Cameron Payne didn't lose you money, but he didn't win you money at the same time. Your bet ended up pushing. And if you were betting on the Nuggets, you can thank Campaign because he ended up pushing that over-under total to 5. He ended up pushing that lead to 5. So he won Nuggets bettors money on Friday night as opposed to Bulls fans. And I bring this up because Darnell Mayberry was wondering. He's like, I looked at the lines before the game, and he's like, did that foul cost anybody betting money? And I was like, yeah, it costed... costed Bulls fans, if they were betting on the Bulls plus five, it costed them at least their winnings. They got their money back for betting, but they didn't win anything. So I said, yeah, in some senses he did, but he did also help Nuggets bettors out there. But we'll keep an eye on it'll be fun. I think that's going to be something that we should add to the show this year, is the lines before and after the games, and see what our predictions go as far as betting wise. And we've got some great sponsors this year for betting, so make sure you check those out, whether it's Bulls coming up in regular season, whether you're going to try and check out a Bears game over the next few weeks or so, whatever it may be, Vivid Seats is there for you. Vivid Seats has all the concerts, all the sporting events, and all of the events that you want to go to at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for your tickets, all the live events you want to go to. You can sort prices or look for the seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers. That's here at Locked On Bulls, receiving $20 off $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code Locked On for $20 off $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code Locked On for $20 off $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Be back here on Locked On Bulls in 60 seconds, talking about Tyler Ulis and also a little bit of wrapping up on Bobby Portis's contract talks, which end today. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Instagram. Go follow us over there at Locked On Bulls. Been putting up a ton of content over the last couple of weeks, so go follow us on Instagram at Locked On Bulls. All right, so the biggest news coming out of training camp, coming out of the end of preseason here, is I think we were right here, Matt, when we talked a few weeks ago. We said that Ryan Arcidiacono is probably the guy to get that 15th man spot. Like, if you did the math, if you look over each player's scenario, it seemed to make sense that the Bulls have had Ryan Arcidiacono now for the second season in a row. Seems like that they like what he's doing. And yes, they brought Kaiser Gates, and they brought Antonio Cleveland and Derek Walton Jr., all to come here to at least try out for a spot and at least fill out their roster for training camp. That being said, not a lot of these guys got run, and thus making them cut from the team. And Ryan Arcidiacono looks like he's going to fill that 15th man role. He did have partially guaranteed money, which I think might play a factor, but as I was trying to tell Bulls fans on Twitter yesterday, is I think the Bulls do still like what Ryan Arcidiacono brings, and that's why he's given this opportunity to be in the 15th spot on the roster this year. And it's funny, the two-way contracts the Bulls used last year, now both of those players are on guaranteed contracts this season with the Bulls. And that brings us to our newest of the two-way contracts. We've got Rolly Elkins as one of those two-way contract deals, but now another homegrown Chicago kid in Tyler Ulis coming back to sign a two-way contract with the Bulls. So what are your thoughts on Tyler Ulis? I know he went with the Phoenix Suns, has had a lot of run in the two seasons that he's played so far in the league. What are your overall thoughts about Tyler Ulis signing this two-way deal?
Yeah, as you mentioned, another Chicago kid, go figure, only a matter of time before we get Jahlil Okafor back in a Bulls uniform.
Trade for Evan
Turner.
Yeah,
why not? Ulis, a graduate of Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, an early second round pick by Phoenix in 2016, 34th overall. And when you're talking about a guy who, yeah, you mentioned he got a lot of run as a rookie, he played in 61 games, started 15. His second season, played 71 games, started 43. So more than half of his games last season came as a starter. And he averaged a little over 7 points a game as a rookie, almost 8 points per game in his second season. But not really numbers that you love when you talk about his shooting percentage. 42% from the field as a rookie. That dropped to 38.8% last year, and really no threat whatsoever behind the three-point line. Only took 1.3 three-point attempts per game as a rookie and hit them at 26.6%. Increased his three-point attempts last season to 2.1 per game and ticked up his percentage a little bit to 28.8, but you're still looking at that and saying, all right, well, here's another backcourt person for the Bulls who can't shoot the long ball, which seems to be a trend for the Bulls backcourt right now over the last couple of seasons. So he did average 3.7 assists and then 4.4 assists in his first two seasons. So you like that, but I mean, I'm just going through his numbers right now and basically saying, okay, so he did all of this, but he did all of this for a bad Suns team. Because those Suns have been bad for those last couple of seasons. And this kind of goes back to a conversation you and I had earlier this summer about Devin Booker, right? And, like, how good is Devin Booker versus just how much is he the most used guy with some talent on a really bad team that needs somebody to score? So when you're trying to evaluate Tyler Ulis, you put it through the looking glass of playing legitimate minutes in lots of games for a Suns team that just needed bodies. And he happened to be a body that they drafted. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he didn't really be able to make a name for himself with the Warriors, who picked him up after the Suns let him go, and he got some preseason action with the Warriors this season. Nobody was expecting him to make that Warriors roster, so here we are. The Bulls found him on the trash heap and decided to add him to a two-way contract. Between his defensive weaknesses and his inability to shoot from outside, I'm not that excited about this signing, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's not the end of the world either, just because he's on the two-way contract. He can go play with the Windy City Bulls for about half the season or so. So I'm cool with that. And that's why I was trying to, like, I wasn't really arguing with people on Twitter. I was just trying to give them the reality of the situation. Is like, they're like, well, why did Ryan Archie Diakono get that 15th spot? Like, Tyler Ulis has already been in the league for 2 years. He played for the Suns for 2 years. At least he has proven to be a serviceable guy as far as a reserve role, either in the 14th or 15th spot. I'm like, look, what are the two best case scenarios here for Tyler Ulis? Like, either one, which is worst case scenario, either one, he sits on the end of the bench, doesn't get a whole lot of run with the Bulls, and warms the bench. Or he can sign this two-way contract. If the Bulls have an injury to their backcourts this season, he can come up and play with the Bulls. Otherwise, let the guy get consistent reps. Like, the things that you've noted, the troublesome field goal percentage that he's got over the two seasons he played with the Phoenix Suns, the inability to knock down threes, those are things that I think he can go and work on with the Windy City Bulls, and he's not that far off from Chicago either. So I like the idea of putting him on a two-way deal, and this is the last year that he's going to be able to be on a contract of that such, because you can only have guys that are 3 years or less experience in the NBA on a two-way deal. So I'm cool with it. Like, I like the idea of letting him and Raleigh Alkins both be on these two-way deals and get some consistent reps with the Windy City Bulls and see what happens. Because, look, Cameron Payne, we don't know if he can stay healthy for a full season. He hasn't stayed healthy since he's been here in Chicago. Same thing, like, if Cameron Payne gets hurt, you can't have Ryan Arcidiacono be playing the bulk of your backup point guard minutes, so you're going to need somebody else. But I'm with you, too. It doesn't really move the needle one way or the other for me as far as the Tyler Ulis signing goes, but I wouldn't say don't get so worried or so caught up as a Bulls fan about why Ryan Arcidiacono made the team and why Tyler Ulis is on the two-way deal. Like, for me, it's more beneficial to watch the guy that I think could maybe have a little bit more potential in Ulis to go down and get consistent reps with the G League team, as opposed to what Ryan Arcidiacono I think is going to do for the majority of the time he's on this roster, and that's warm the bench.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really don't have anything to add. I think you hit that right on the head. Like, those guys should be playing those roles. I agree with that. I think maybe, I feel like you and I both, I have the opinion that we know what Ryan Arcidiacono is. We know what he can do. We know what he can't do. Ulis is certainly a project, and he's more of an unknown. So more of an unknown is someone who I would like to say, okay, give him a bunch of minutes with the Windy City Bulls, and at some point this season, if you need to bring him up, then we get to have the fun experiment of, all right, we saw what you could do on a really bad Phoenix Suns team. What can you do in a Bulls team?
Offensive defensive rating of Tyler Ulis in his first two seasons combined, an offensive rating of 99 and a defensive rating of 115 for a net rating of -16. So not great, but it's tough. Like, he's going to have a tough hill battle, and he knows that, I think, too. He's seen it in the first two seasons. A guy that's 5'10", 150 pounds, that's what he's listed at. It's going to be tough to consistently make your name in the NBA around that. So I'm going to be interested to keep an eye on him in G League and see what the Bulls decide to do there. If he starts lighting it up there, then sure, bring him up. But if not, let him get some consistent reps, let him work on some stuff, and then maybe there's something there at the end of the season. But I don't think this is something that Bulls fans should just get totally out of whack about, because let's be honest, it's the 15th spot on the roster. It's not something that's going to really change anything. With talking about that, let's get to our final topic of today. So Bobby Portis and the Bulls have about 8 hours or so from the time that we're recording right now to come up with a deal for a contract extension for him. If they do not come up with a deal by 5 p.m., I think, today, then Bobby Portis will be a restricted free agent going into 2019's free agency. So odds that Bobby Portis and the Bulls get a deal done today, Matt, what say you?
Yeah, this is where you throw the final countdown into your post-production.
It's the final countdown.
So we've heard as of this early this morning via our friend of the pod who covers the Bulls for the Trib, Casey Johnson, that the two sides are talking today. The talks have been ongoing for the last several months, trying to get an extension done. I heard as recently as the middle of last week from a fairly credible source that it sounded like there was a more than 50-50 chance that this deal gets done. And just because we're coming up to the midnight hour as we're recording this earlier in the day before the day of the deadline, doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, because let's remember a couple of factors. The Bulls are negotiating with Bobby's agent, Mark Bartlestein, who is a guy that has a long-standing solid relationship with this Bulls management and ownership group, including, you know, not just Bobby Portis, but lots and lots and lots of Bulls, past and present. And an example of that is them getting the Taj Gibson extension done in a very similar manner on deadline day, right up to the wire. That is something that happened not too long ago. So until the deadline passes and we hear nothing, I am still holding out on the likelihood that a deal gets done. But there is, from what I've heard, still a difference of maybe a couple million dollars per per season that we're looking at. Bobby wanting somewhere around $16 million, the Bulls being more comfortable with something like $13.5 million, maybe going up to $14 million. So that's where they are right now. And, we have half a day until this deadline rolls around, and we'll see. And then we'll talk on tomorrow's show about what the result was. Either yes, they got a deal done, or no, they didn't. And what that means for Bobby and what it means for the Bulls moving forward.
I think at a certain point, you know, we talk about whether or not you let guys go if you can find trade value for guys of Bobby Portis's stature. And, you know, you have to play the game. Is it more advantageous to keep Bobby around for what would be probably his prime of his career and all the things that he's done to build himself up over last year and into this season? You know, getting him in a deal that would be $12, $13, $14 million, I know it seems like a lot for a guy coming off the bench, but you also have to look at the minutes that he's going to be playing for the Bulls. He's going to be playing close to starter minutes, even when Markkanen comes back. So in that case, add the fact, too, that, you know, when you're rebuilding, at a certain point, you've got to decide to yourself, like, well, who of these guys are we going to keep around long-term, and who are guys that are definitely not a part of this team? And I think that's a situation that the Bulls are coming to find out with Bobby Portis, is the fact that, okay, you know, at a certain point, we've got to find a way to start keeping some of the guys that we feel like are going to have an impact on this team. And Bobby's one of those cases, you know. And maybe this is a little bit of an insight of what they think about Jabari Parker so far. I don't know if it plays a huge factor into it, too. But the fact that, you know, if Jabari doesn't work out this season, and there's a lot of signs that are telling us right now that it's not going to work out, you're going to have a ton of cap space in 2019 to sign guys. And if the Bulls feel like that they're still a year away from signing a star, if they're still a year away from all of that, then they can afford to have Bobby Portis's contract on their books for 3 or 4 years at $13 million. That's not going to be a killer, because like we had said before, if you don't pick up Parker's option next year for $20 million, you're looking at somewhere north of $35 million in open cap space. And even if you sign Bobby Portis to that contract extension, then you're looking at about $24-26 million. So that's still not the end of the world, and you still have a decent amount of cap to go out and sign maybe second tier guys that you're looking at, not necessarily a max contract. But to me, it's a scenario where you have to look around and say, all right, at some point we got to stop, reevaluate our team, and figure out which guys we want to keep long term instead of either trading or letting them go away in free agency because of cost. And I think if you sign Bobby Portis to $13 million a year, I think that's great value. And if he continues to play the way he is, and if he continues to get better, then you're getting even better value. Like, I always compare it to the fact that you look at Nico Mirotic's contract and you look at the contract that maybe Bobby Portis will sign. About equal players. What Nico is going to do for the Bulls last year was come off and be the sixth man again behind Markkanen. Same thing. So, to me, I like the idea of Bobby staying around long term. I think
just to cut it real quick, I mean, the Bulls signed Nico to that contract with the assumption.
Shorter term.
Short term, yes. But, I mean, you just said sixth man coming in, backing in Markkanen. No, that's the plan that they reverted to, because until Nico was healthy and until Bobby's suspension was over, Markkanen was their lone option to start.
True.
So the plan when they signed Nico to that, and that was a midnight hour deal as well, the plan was for Nico to be the starter. And that was part of the tension that existed between him and Bobby before that fight happened. The plan was not to pay Nico that money to back up Markkanen. That was not the plan. The plan was to start Nico. And now, just kind of talk about what this might mean if the Bulls get this Bobby deal done, and Bobby looking like, after the last two preseason games, the guy that Fred Hoiberg wants to start over Jabari Parker. If you're talking about $13 million for a guy who, for the first quarter, maybe even third of your season, is your starting power forward, that looks like a good deal. It looks like good money. It looks like a player who deserves that kind of money, because it's a cheaper deal than Jabari, who's coming off the bench. To me, the interesting thing is what happens when Markkanen comes back. Because Markkanen comes back, Markkanen's your starting four, obviously. We're assuming that Wendell, at some point, if not immediately, becomes the starting center and stays the starting center when Markkanen comes back. If Fred has given up on the idea of Jabari playing the three, then all of a sudden you're talking about Bobby Portis being, what, third at the power forward spot? Or maybe coming in and backing up Wendell at the center position and basically just shelving Robin Lopez. Though, I mean, those are your options. So to me, it's not like five preseason games will allow the Bulls front office to make a definitive decision about Jabari and that team option. But I think signing Portis to an extension might certainly at least give a clue as to how they feel about Jabari right now. Because if they lock up Bobby, you might be talking about Jabari being a one-and-done experiment that they're already giving up on. And, before people come at me and say, Pack, you're being ridiculous, like it's preseason, Jabari's still going to be a big, important part of this team, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I'm saying if this deal gets done and Bobby is extended on a four-year deal, it should probably clue you in a little bit as far as how much they value Bobby Portis and how much they are indifferent about that $20 million option for Jabari Parker, because they are guys that are fighting all of a sudden for the same position.
I'm just thinking long-term too here. So next year, not going to have Robin Lopez around. Amir Sheik's not going to be around. Still not even really any reason to talk about him on a Bulls podcast. But the fact that you have basically only three guys in your front courts next year, I mean, you could throw Cristiano Felicio in there too. Sure, you have him on the bench. But realistically, what we're thinking about as far as what next year looks like is should be Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. starting. And then if you got Bobby coming off the bench as your sixth man, he can play the four and the five. So I think the versatility that Bobby's game offers also is a factor for the Bulls to consider too. And as opposed to some of these other guys that they paid high dollar money, and they can only play one position. I think Bobby, with work, can play the four alongside Markkanen, who, if Markkanen can slide to the five next year, that could be a case too. So Bobby's versatile, and I think the Bulls realize that, and it'll be curious to see if they do get a deal done. I'd like to see him stay, though. If it's anything north of $15 million, then I say let him go into restricted free agency and see what he can get. But it sounded like when we talked to him last month that he wants to stay here. He likes Chicago a lot. He feels comfortable. It feels like home finally to him. And that was the most important part to me. Like, when we talked to him too, is he said he struggled in his rookie season just kind of adjusting to this being home, adjusting to being away from Arkansas, and then now it seems like he's comfortable, confident, and considers Chicago home, and seems like he is a very important player to those guys in that locker room, like one of those key guys, and everybody continues to talk about him throughout preseason, and I think that's going to be kind of a common theme that we see throughout the season, is people are going to point to sort of the emergence of Bobby Portis's leadership role in that locker room. And a lot of the Bulls fans, or a lot of the NBA fans that don't pay attention to the Bulls day in and day out, are going to be like, oh my God, you got a guy in there talking about leadership and he just punched one of his teammates last year. Like, come on, we're better than that. We can come up with better reasons than that.
Some people aren't. We are better than that. Some people aren't.
That's true. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. So we will wait, and we'll talk tomorrow on the show whether or not the Bulls get a deal done with Bobby Portis. So make sure you're following on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck about Bobby Portis's contract and so much more. So make sure you're following us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts. You will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Melly. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.